Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I'm welcomed in by the one and only Steven Deaton. How are you, Steven?
Man, I'm good. What about you?
I'm freezing my freaking tail off, man. For our listeners, man, we live here in Northeast Mississippi, where it is usually hot 24/7, and it is single digit right now, and my body is not used to it, Steven. I ain't gonna lie to you, man.
Yeah, man, it's really cold. My hot water lines are frozen, so no hot water at my house. It's something else. I'll say that it's something else.
Man, I couldn't even imagine. Dude, you told me that earlier, and I was like, man, just imagine a single degree outside, and you can't even take a hot shower, man.
I know, sick of it.
Yeah. So, anyways, man. So Steven, I know you're out for Christmas break right now with schools and stuff. Are y'all doing like any basketball practices or anything?
We took this whole week off, and they'll have the weekend off for Christmas here, and we'll practice Monday, the day after Christmas, and then we play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week. So we got a busy week ahead. But right now we're just recharging our batteries and giving them some time off to have some family time and enjoy Christmas, but then we get right back at it on Monday. So
nice, man. I know, like with us, we're working basically. I got off Friday before Christmas, I get off the Monday after Christmas, I get off the Friday before New Year's Day, and the Monday after New Year's Day, and then that's pretty much it. And so I know if you're like me, man, you're just enjoying this time and just kind of relax and stuff. But speaking of Christmas, man, just so I know, I like hearing about like people's Christmas traditions and stuff like that. So I just got two questions for you, Steven. Just kind of like some Christmas conversations to start off the show. So yeah. Just either growing up or even currently, what's your favorite Christmas tradition that you do with your family?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so as far as Christmas traditions go, I think our traditions change. Of course, as we get older, we get married and we have our own immediate families and things like that. And even, you know, extended families through marriage and things like that. I think my favorite tradition growing up would be just, you know, getting up and then honestly just going in there and opening presents. Like as a kid, yeah. That's what that's what you love. Like I can remember doing that. I can remember when the Nintendo 64 came out and I got that for Christmas one year. I mean, I can remember it like it was yesterday. I got fond memories of just doing that as a tradition growing up. I think my favorite tradition now, as I've gotten married and we've got our own kids, is honestly getting up and every Christmas morning after we open presents here with our kids, we go to my in-law's house and we have this huge breakfast. I mean, and it's huge. It's everything and anything breakfast food that you can think of. And so we go do that every Christmas morning. And that's probably where I land these days as far as my favorite Christmas tradition.
And mine's very, very similar. So like in the past, man, I remember my favorite one was just like what you said, waking up Christmas morning. Mine's a little bit different though, to where like I have my mother passed away back in 2016, and some of my fun memories of her that I still have to this day is that whenever we would have Christmas morning, she would always go inside of the kitchen, she'd get a cup of coffee, and she would just sit in the chair sipping your cup of coffee while the kids opened up their gifts. But something that I'm very, very thankful for is that my stepdad actually videoed with a video recorder back then. He would actually video us opening up our gifts and like actually pan it over to my mom to see her watching us and stuff like that. So some of the only videos that I have of her is from that mornings and stuff like that. So I'm very appreciative of that, very thankful for that time. Now, as far as me with my family, man, I think you got to say just the kids opening up their gifts and seeing the smile on their faces. Man, I know like with us, like Christmas morning and stuff, we make sure that we make it a point that, you know, mom and dad were the ones who got you these gifts and stuff, like Santa's all cool and everything else. But, you know, just kind of letting them know that this is just from us because we're thankful for you guys and we appreciate y'all. And so, man, just seeing the smile on their face whenever they get to open up like their basketball goal or play set, whatever it may be. And then we also do breakfast at our in-laws as well. And man, I love the fact that it's something different than just your traditional Christmas food of like stuffing or turkey or whatever it may be. So now, controversial question, Steven. If you had to list it, man, what's your favorite Christmas movie of all time?
I don't think this is very controversial at all for me. Like, I think, and this really is easy for me. Like, I don't even think, there's not even a close second. To me, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is the best Christmas movie of all time. Dude, it's hilarious. It's and it gets as it get as it of course it's an older movie, but even every single year that goes by, you turn it on, you watch it, and it's just as funny or maybe more funny than it was the last time you saw it. So Christmas Vacation's got to be mine.
See, and I was telling you before the show, Steve, I've never watched it outside of TBS version.
I can't.
And so the reason I say that is I walked in the house today and my 6-year-old was watching it on TV on HBO Max. And I heard a couple of choice words and I was like, babe, why are you letting her watch this? And so I'm anxious to go back and watch it just to be able to enjoy it for its true nature.
It's great. And really and truly, when it came out, it really wasn't all that, right? I mean, if you go back and you kind of if you see the history of the movie and, you know, when it came out, it just was okay. And of course, as it's gotten older, it just has this nostalgic feel to it. And it's just better and better each year.
It's definitely a cult classic for sure. I love the fact that our two choices show our different personalities, though, because you chose the more serious, more dry humor Christmas Vacation, and I chose Elf. And
Elf, dude, as you say Elf, and you just said you've never seen it, I can legitimately say I've never sat down front to start and seen Elf. I can't,
man,
do
just
it.
Dude, Will Ferrell cracks me up, man. And just like the scenes where he goes into New York for the first time, and just dude, it cracks me up. And it's one of the movies that I remember growing up watching, and actually man, it's one of the most quotable Christmas movies that I can remember. Now, I will say this, an underrated Christmas movie that not a lot of people pay attention to, Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon. Dude, that movie is a fantastic movie. They've got one scene in it where they play Taboo together. And if you haven't seen that scene, you just need to go on YouTube and watch it. Question as well, Steven, just kind of as we move into our next section here. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? What's your take on this?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm in the same boat, man.
They're at a Christmas party. I mean, they're literally at a Christmas party in the movie. It's definitely a Christmas movie. I actually saw this, and you're not gonna know this, and most of our listeners probably aren't either. All five of you, but the movie Rambo First Blood was actually the first 80s or actually late 70s action movie Christmas movie. It was actually set during Christmas time. If you go back and you see the police station where Rambo was first brought in First Blood, there's a Christmas tree sitting in the background back there. And I actually saw a screenshot of that online the other day, and it was talking about how it was the first 80s action, or I'm sorry, I keep saying 80s. I know Rambo First Blood was made in the 70s, but that era of action movies to be set at Christmas time.
That's interesting. I never thought about that before. Also, never seen any of the Rambo movies, so I probably need to go do that. Hey, it's like I always say, man, if it came out before Michael Jordan's Space Jam, there's a really good chance I never watched it.
I can't with you. How many of the Rockies have you seen? I can't.
I've seen all the Rockies. Okay. I have. The only reason I have is because I had a marathon one Christmas.
Lord
have mercy. And I will say, though, man, I like the Creeds. The Creeds are fantastic. So, turning into the fantasy football, that's why everybody's here, right? So, Steven, we know that the quarterfinals just happened last week, man. How did you end up turning out last week? What was your records? Where are you sitting at currently in your semifinals?
All right. So, yeah, quarterfinals was last week. Obviously, if you're in the quarterfinals, you didn't get a bye, so it's not some of your stronger teams. In my redraft league, I actually had three byes out of my four. And then in that redraft, I went 1-0. So, I have four redraft teams. All four have made the semifinals, so I'm pretty happy about that. My dynasty week last week, I went 1-2 on the week, and I did have five bye weeks. So, again, like I said, I didn't have – you know, that's not your strongest teams. Obviously, if you're having to play in the quarterfinals, you obviously didn't get a bye. I didn't have a great week in a couple of those. A couple of those were decimated with injuries, honestly. So, you know, it is what it is. I went 1-2. So dynasty teams in the semifinals, total 6 out of my 11 dynasty teams have made the semifinals.
Still pretty good ratio, Steven. I know for me in redraft, I went 1-0 with one of my teams having a bye week in the quarterfinals. Dynasty, I went 1-0 as well with one bye week. the number's not right. I'll have to go back and look at that. But redraft teams in semifinals right now, I am sitting at 2-2. Dynasty teams in semifinals, I'm sitting at 3 out of 8. I know my dynasty record is not actually 1-0 because I know for a fact I had a couple of them on bye week, and I actually got put out in a couple leagues by Adam Graham. So shout out, Adam. Appreciate you, man. So, Steven, let's just go ahead and move into our news and notes segment, man.
All right, let's do it. This past week, man, in the game against the Chicago Bears, Jalen Hurts actually suffered a sprained shoulder. It's going to hold him out this week, and Gardner Minshew's going to get the start this week. And honestly, it could hold him out of your fantasy football finals next week. So just something you need to keep an eye on. As fantasy managers scramble to find this replacement, whether it be Minshew or somebody else, what's the most important question? The most important question here is there's still a solid chance that he can win the NFL MVP award despite missing a game due to injury.
Yeah, like for me, man, I think he's the NFL MVP this year, in my opinion. I think he's the most improved player. I think the fact that he was able to come out and be literally the QB1, not just from a fantasy perspective, but just how that team has just come around to on the way to winning that division, to just crushing other teams and things like that. And so I understand where injuries do kind of bump people down and stuff like that. But I looked at the odds right now, and they have actually Patrick Mahomes ahead of him. But in my opinion, I still got Jalen Hurts as the front runner. What do you think, Steven?
Oh, man, I like Jalen Hurts a lot. And he has been obviously – I mean, he has been the MVP of that team. I know A.J. Brown's been great this year for them, and that was obviously a great pickup for the Eagles. And nobody really saw that matchup or their hookup. Nobody really saw that coming. Like, yeah. Even I thought – you know, I had reservations because I thought, man, I just don't know that Hurts can get him the ball because his throw-in had not been great. And this year, man, he's just taken a whole, like you just said, just a whole step forward. Most improved probably player this year. It's going to be hard for him to win the MVP, I think, with this injury, you know, taking him out of these next couple weeks. And you do still have your Patrick Mahomes who's rocking and rolling. You do still have, you know, even probably your Joe Burrow is going to be in the mix there. But I think he's still right up there in the conversation. He's got to be in the conversation. I just don't think it's a lock for him.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But I think he is in the conversation still. This injury is going to hurt him. I think if he would have finished the year out and got these last couple games in, I think he probably had the leg up on everyone. But just these last couple games here might cost him. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, Jerick McKinnon came out of nowhere last week and finishes the RB1 overall with a stat line of 10, 52, 1 rushing and 8 receptions, 70 receiving yards, and 1 receiving touchdown. Man, and I'm going to say this. I had a buddy text me that owns, like, Isaiah Pacheco in, like, 90% of his leagues, and his text was literally, "I hate Jerick McKinnon." Like he said, "I hate Jerick McKinnon." So man, if you were a Pacheco believer, if you are a Pacheco believer, this has to give you pause, right? This has to give you some, okay, what's going on here? Are they changing to a McKinnon, to more of a McKinnon, you know, thing here? Is Pacheco going to be the goal line back, the power back? Is McKinnon going to kind of take over as your passing back and start eating into that rushing? So if you're a Pacheco guy and you were plugging in Pacheco, it's probably time to take a little step back because here we are at the playoffs. You don't want to plug in Pacheco and McKinnon get all the work. So I know it's a hard decision. It's going to be a hard decision, especially if you've been relying on Pacheco. But man, if you do have Pacheco, it's going to be hard for you. So on that same thought, can you trust McKinnon in your semifinal matchups? What do you do? Pacheco or McKinnon?
Oh man. So I think you gotta ride with the hot hand, man, and go McKinnon. You know, we were always talking about Pacheco eating in and honestly being a potential solid running back option throughout the playoffs, but it's looking like McKinnon, who just put up in some leagues 31 fantasy points last week. I know I'm in one league where we talked about it last episode, to where I was actually going up against Kelby, who has a powerhouse team. And I actually came within, like, I think 15, 20 points of Kelby, mostly thanks to Jarrett McKinnon on my team. And so with me, I think I trust McKinnon a little bit over Pacheco going forward. I love the fact that we're not talking about CEH at all, because I think he's still on IR, right? But man, that was a lot of people's 101 a couple of years ago, man. But with this, I think just with the Chiefs and the fact that they are a passing team, I think McKinnon has the better receiving upside out of the two backs, and I think that they're probably going to trust the rock with him in the clutch moments, man.
Yeah, I don't. I'm glad I'm not in that boat. I don't own a single share of Jerick McKinnon, and I don't own a single share of Isaiah Pacheco. I might own one share of CEH somewhere. I don't know, but regardless, I'm out of that Chiefs backfield. I'm glad I am. I've got a ton of tough decisions to make, start sit decisions and things like that. I'm glad this isn't one of them, though.
For sure.
All right, last night's game between the Jaguars and Jets, man, it was mostly a snooze fest. Lots of field goals. The wind was kind of blustering around. Trevor Lawrence looked pretty good rushing the ball. He even had some nice throws. But, man, to me, again, the bright spot for the Jaguars offense was Evan Engram. Man, he finished with 7 receptions on 113 receiving yards. I think he'll be in that into the tight end one category once again this week. And next year with the Jags adding Calvin Ridley, what do you think about this offense and Trevor Lawrence and Evan Engram and Calvin Ridley and Zay Jones and Travis Etienne? What are we thinking, man? What kind of offense are they going to have next year?
Let me just say this, Stephen. I had another start sit question this week, and somebody asked me, hey, do you start Zay Jones or James Cook or a couple more scrubs? And I told him, I was like, man, just go ahead and plug Zay Jones in there. And after last night's performance, Zay Jones came crashing back down to earth, man. So, Jake, I just want to go ahead and say, man, I apologize for this. Hopefully you can still pull out that dub. But anyways, man, yeah, I think this offense, man, it's one of the most improved offenses in the NFL in just a year span.
It is.
I think you got the really Eagles is. Up there, you got the Bears up there, but just the Jaguars, man, Peterson has really came in and turned the dumpster fire that Urban Meyer had there and has just really made a sound offense. And I'll be honest with you, Steven, I was a skeptic, man. I remember in the offseason when they went and paid Christian Kirk big money, when they brought Zay Jones in, I was like, dude, this wide receiving core, I don't know how they're going to get it done. But then, man, I've been proven wrong. And I think a lot of that comes in to you're having players step up. And when you have a tight end who hasn't really done anything in a couple of years come in and has been killing it right now over the last end of the season. And then also Trevor Lawrence has taken that step up and they're actually putting the ball in his hands a little bit more, letting him do what he's supposed to be doing with it. I think if you add Calvin Ridley into this offense next year, you've got a dynamic and pretty awesome offense. For me, if I've got any of those pieces, Calvin Ridley, Ingram, Etienne, Trevor Lawrence, they're rising up my dynasty rankings pretty quickly.
Yeah, I really like that offense. Doug Peterson is obviously a heck of an offensive coach. He's been great for Lawrence. He's been great for really that whole offense. I want to throw a couple stats at you here. If my math calculations are right here, Evan Engram, weeks 1 through 12, 38 receptions. Evan Engram, the past 4 weeks, 31 receptions. So that tells you anything about what Ingram's been doing over the past few weeks here. Just week 13, 14, 15, and 16. 7 targets, 15 targets, 10 targets, 8 targets last night. And then, you know, going back to that, 5 receptions, 11 receptions on 15 targets, 8 receptions on 10 targets, and then 7 receptions on 8 targets last night. Just the efficiency that he's been able to put together. You know, he's had drop issues his whole career, but man, it looks like him and Lawrence are on the same page. And man, what if Evan Engram can bust out of this? You know, he's been a bust tight end, and what if he just breaks out, man? I'm enjoying what I'm seeing from him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, me too. I know, like, every year we always have, like, last year's Dawson Knox, Dalton Schultz. I think Evan Engram's right there in that category for this year.
Yep. He definitely is doing his part to be in there.
For sure.
All right, man, the official Pro Bowl rosters came out this week. Man, who's the biggest snub in your opinion? Like, you know, I saw Christian McCaffrey wasn't in, and that's got to be my biggest snub. But you had Christian McCaffrey, you had Jalen Waddle, you had Tyler Lockett, you had Austin Eckler, and you had Amon-Ra St. Brown, Justin Fields, Tua Tagovailoa, some really dynamic players here. And you know, some of these players was leading all players in fan voting. And they just didn't make it in. It's just strange to me, right? I mean, it's just strange to me that you got a Christian McCaffrey who's probably he's arguably the most dynamic weapon offensively in the game, and he doesn't make the Pro Bowl. I don't get it.
Yeah, and I'm kind of the same boat. When I first saw that list, I thought McCaffrey was one of the biggest ones. He went from an offense where he was the only bright spot in Carolina because DJ Moore really wasn't getting it done, and he was a stud. And then he got traded to a fantastic team with the 49ers. And just the fact that he came in that very first week, I don't believe he missed a game. He started his very first game there, put up decent numbers. And then on top of that, the fact that he's getting left out there whenever you have players like, I want to say Pollard and a couple more sneak in there. My biggest one though, Steven, I'll be honest with you, man. And I issued a formal apology the other day about Amon-Ra St. Brown. And I know where fan voting and all that kind of stuff comes into play and all that, but the wide receivers over in the NFC, I believe it was AJ Brown, CeeDee Lamb, there's one more from that division. I can't remember who it is. It's Terry McLaurin. That's who it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest with you, Steven. I don't like the fact that Amon-Ra got left out and Terry McLaurin got put in.
Yeah.
I know that McLaurin, he's been okay, and he's been one of the solid good spots in Washington and stuff like that. But just the fact of, man, Amon-Ra has been killing it this year, man. Mm-hmm. He's a fantasy-wise, he is the number six wide receiver in PPR leagues. But just the fact that I know he was hurt there towards the beginning of the year, didn't really do fantastic.
Yeah.
But he's averaging a solid 80, 90 yards receiving per game. And you're putting in McLaurin, who I know he's playing good with a terrible quarterback and stuff, but – man, I think that's the biggest snub in my opinion. And obviously Austin Eckler as well. Eckler, he's been, even whenever Mike Williams and Keenan Allen was down, Eckler was one of the ones that kept the offense moving, kept the offense in competition for that division and everything else as well.
Yeah, they, I don't know, man. I don't agree with it. I don't know what else to say. Like, I'm with you. I'm the same boat with you. Amon-Ra should probably be in over Terry McLaurin. I'm not real sure. Some of these others I get, but man, Christian McCaffrey and Terry and Amon-Ra St. Brown feel like the biggest snubs out of this list to me.
Yeah, 100% agree.
All right, let's move on to our underdog section. Recap last week just a little bit, man. Justin Jefferson over 94.5 receiving yards for me was a hit with 123 receiving yards. J.K. Dobbins over 53.5 rushing yards was a hit with 125 rushing yards. I love that line from the get-go. And then Tyreek Hill, over 76.5 receiving yards, was a miss with 69 receiving yards. So wasn't far off. I was one catch away right there from hitting that one.
For sure.
Yours, Mike Gesicki, under 2 receptions, hit with 1 reception. Josh Allen, under 0.5 interception, hit with 0 interceptions. And Trevor Lawrence, over 254.5 passing yards, hit with 318 passing yards. So BJ goes 3 for 3. I go 2 for 3. We are 5 for 6 total this past week. In our underdog section, I'm 13-9 on the year in my underdog picks. So, man, we had a pretty good week overall, and I really like what we've got going on this week, BJ. I'm going to go ahead and let you start with your first one here, and then I'll follow suit with one.
Sounds good, man. My very first one, this is one that I think is kind of a bold take because the offense passing-wise has been a little bit tough to trust and stuff, but I'm going Cole Kmet over 3 receptions. The past 4 matchups, Kmet has only went over this 2 out of 4. For instance, he played Atlanta back in week 11. He had 3 receptions. After that, New York Jets, 3 receptions. After that, Green Bay, 6 receptions. And then after that, Philadelphia with 4. This week, though, however, they play Buffalo Bills. This game, man, I honestly think that Allen is going to come out slinging the ball for Buffalo. And with that being said, I'll be honest with you, who else does Justin Fields have to throw to on the Chicago Bears offense? As of right now, Chase Claypool is doubtful to play. And so with it, I'm not expecting Cole Kmet to go out there and get 75, 100 yards receiving, but I think he gets a solid 5-6 targets in this game. Over the last 4 weeks, he's been averaging 5.5 targets per game. And so with it, I think he gets that. And I think that Fields checks the ball down to him pretty good couple of times. And if you're playing in a negative game script to where you're passing the ball, I think Kmet actually goes over here than the 3.0 receptions. And so this is one that I'm smashing the over in and just riding it out and seeing what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I don't argue. I can't argue anything you're saying here. I don't love it, right? I mean, it's Cole Kmet. Yeah. It's Justin Fields. And as good as Justin Fields has been, and his passing has gotten better. I'm not knocking his passing because I've seen him make some nice throws over the past few weeks. But it just doesn't feel safe. You know, it feels like it feels like one of those that, I mean, like you said, you said it when you prefaced this, you know, it's kind of a, you know, you're kind of taking a little step here, a little leap, but, you know, definitely could happen. All right. My first one here, Justin Jefferson. Again, I talked last week about I'm going to stop playing around. Like, you're Cole Kmet here. I feel like you're playing around. I'm not playing around, BJ. I'm going with Justin Jefferson over 6.5 receptions. Over the past 7 weeks, one time has he went under 7 receptions. One time over the past 7 weeks. In week 11, he had 3 receptions on 5 targets against Dallas. What happened there? Did he go out that game? He went out that game, didn't he?
Yeah, I believe so. He went out and came back in.
Only 5 targets that game. Only 5 targets that game, 3 receptions. But that's the only time over the past 7 weeks that he has went under, again, like I said, 7 receptions. You can date all the way back, BJ, to week 4. And week 4, he had 10 receptions. He had 12 receptions week 5. Week 6 and week 8, they had a bye week, week 7. So week 6 and week 8, he had 6 receptions on the dot. So, man, he's all over that number. And I'm telling you, like, go with the stud. Like, he's Justin Jefferson. He's going to catch the ball 7 times. I mean, it's just going to happen. You can mark it down. You can write it down. It's going to happen. Justin Jefferson over 6.5 receptions.
Hey, man, I actually love this a lot, man. Jefferson's a stud. And if you watch his games and stuff, I know he didn't, like, against Indianapolis this past week before halftime, he really wasn't doing anything. But then just the fact that after halftime, he came out there and put up, what was it, 10, 11 receptions for the game?
He had 12 catches on 16 targets.
And that's what I'm saying. So, dude had like almost 10 catches in one half of football.
Yep.
And so, with it, man, heck yeah, dude. He's literally, I'm not saying he's carrying that team, but he is the obvious stud. And, man, I just want to say this. Shout out to Justin Jefferson, who in the offseason came out and said, like, look, Devontae Adams may be the number one wide receiver as of last year. He's like, but when we come into the offseason of 2023, y'all are going to be talking about me in that category. And, man, he's backed up what he said for sure.
Hey, he's definitely on track for that.
Absolutely.
I think, man, if you're listening to this and you do underdog and you're kind of you're taking this, just take Justin Jefferson over 6.5. BJ's fixing to give you another one here.
Oh, yeah. Another stud wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase, over 5.5 receptions. Chase has hit this in literally every single game that he's played this year except for 2. And so, man, they're playing against New England this week. If you look over Chase's last 3 games where he came back from that injury, that little small stint of missing 4 games, he is putting up 8 targets, 15 targets, 13 targets, and has 7 receptions, 10 receptions, 7 receptions. Man, y'all know how it is, dude. If you've got Chase on your team, you obviously see the receptions there. Joe Burrow loves Chase, honestly, and you can see that just by watching the games and things like that. And so if all you got to tell me is that Ja'Marr Chase has to have 6 receptions for this to hit, then, man, heck yeah. I actually just looked at the line a while ago. They have bumped it up to over 6 receptions now, and so he has to have 7, but once again, he has hit that in 5 of his last 5 contests before injury and after injury. And so with it, I think it's a safe one that you can bank on. Man, anytime you're going and you see in the receptions and you see the way that these games operate, I think you can ride with it. The only thing that I will say to be hesitant on with this is that I think the only way that he misses this is if New England just bombs if they go out there like they haven't really been looking that great, if Mac Jones just, man, throws the game away or whatever, and then they just hand it off to Joe Mixon. But even with that, I still think Chase eats here. I think, man, hitting 7 receptions, I think is easily doable for sure.
I love it. I think I think you need to stack Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Fields here in underdog this week. And you just need to ride those. You need to ride those guys because, man, they're studs, as we've just said. They're going to be. I think those are two that you can really count on this week.
For sure.
All right, my next one here. All right, I don't love it, but man, this number is just outrageous to me. Just looking at it, it's like, man, no way. But Justin Fields under 75.5 rushing yards. And look, I get it. He's been killing it. And if you go back and look at his rushing numbers, there's a reason this line is what it is at 75.5. If you go back and look at his rushing numbers, he has been under 75 rushing yards exactly one time over the past 5 weeks. 71 rushing yards against Green Bay in week 13. But man, at some point this is going to stop, right? Like, he can't sustain this running ability. And to me, I think Buffalo is the perfect matchup for him to not reach this goal. Buffalo is a stout, tough defense. They really, I think, hone in on the run more than they do the pass. And I think they're going to really be looking at Justin Fields and try to stop his rushing ability this week. I also think that the Bears in general, they've got to take a step back at some point and say, man, we cannot kill our franchise quarterback. Like, he's got to stop running so much. Maybe this week is that week. 75.5 rushing yards feels like an awful lot for a quarterback. And I know he can get it in one attempt. I know he's a game breaker and he can get it. But, man, it just feels like he can – it feels like this is the week that this is going to be under. So Justin Fields under 75.5 rushing yards.
Yeah, man, I don't hate it at all. Anytime you bank on just a massive amount of rushing, I think back a couple of weeks ago whenever I banked on, I think it was Jalen Hurts over 60, and he went out and actually passed the ball pretty much the whole game and ended up only having like 5-10 yards rushing. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you. I think this is one to where you have to watch out for. I think that Buffalo has a fantastic defense, honestly. And so I do agree with you here, Steven. Everybody has those trap games. Mine that I'm going with this week, my final one, is a man that has been carrying a lot of my dynasty teams this year, and that is Saquon Barkley over 0.5 touchdowns. It can be rushing, it can be receiving. All you have to do is bank that Saquon Barkley will score a touchdown against the Minneapolis defense. With this, man, looking back at Saquon's numbers, dude, he has scored a touchdown in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 out of 15 games, Steven. And with it, man, it's a fantastic matchup. It's juicy. And you saw the Minnesota defense give up 33 points to the Indianapolis Colts last week, being led by Matt Ryan. Now, we know how the outcome came, right? We know that Matt Ryan choked, just like he did in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. But with it, man, Saquon Barkley, he's found his nose into the end zone multiple times this year. And with it, he's one of the only bright spots on this offense. And so I think he finds it again this week. I think it's one to where he's going to carry your fantasy teams into championship week. And honestly, I'm banking on him scoring at least one touchdown this year. Or this week, excuse me.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, we've done this line before, and it's hit, I think, almost every time we've done it. And he is, man. He's a fantasy stud. He's their most dynamic weapon offensively. And just the fact that it's just one touchdown, whether it be rushing or receiving, I think it's a pretty good shot here. I think it's definitely over 50-50. I think you're on the plus side of 70 to 75% chance here on this. So I like it a lot. All right, my last one here, going with my man, Kirk Cousins. I'm going over 35.5 passing attempts. So he's got to get 36 attempts. If you go back and look at my boy, Kirk Cousins, 36 attempts, he has surpassed that 3 of his past 4 weeks, and he has only not done it four times this year. So 4 out of 15 weeks, he has been over that, and 3 of the past 4, he has been over that. They are playing the Giants this week in a dome. I think they'll be throwing the ball. I think the Giants are good enough to keep it close. And, you know, who knows what the Vikings are going to do. I mean, look at what they did last week, right? I mean, they got down 33-0 to the Colts. So, and they had to come out, and Kirk Cousins threw it 54 times. So, you know, who knows what they're going to do. Regardless of game script, I think Cousins throws the ball. Dalvin Cook is not the back that he was a couple of years ago.
Sure.
So they do have to rely on Cousins and Justin Jefferson a little bit more than they have in the past as far as the run game goes. Dalvin will obviously still get his, but I'm just saying they're not just going to turn around and hand it off to Dalvin. They are going to throw the ball. So Kirk Cousins over his 35 and a half pass attempts, lock it in.
All right, guys, man, that's your player props for the week. Hope y'all smash those overs and unders that we recommended. Hopefully y'all can actually – man, take home a little bit of cash this weekend. Steven, I don't know about you, man, but I'm super excited for these Saturday games. I love it whenever they always do this. But with that being said, as we wrap up this show, I always want to take time and thank our partner podcast, I guess you could call it, Mr. Ben McCarthy over at Jab Step Fantasy Basketball Podcast, man. I was actually a special guest this past Thursday. Steven, you need to go listen to the episode. You might have got brought up as Ben's arch nemesis on there. So I would, I'll send you the timestamp here in a little bit. But y'all go check them out, man. Anything basketball related. I know they produce 2 episodes per week. They do a fantasy episode for fantasy basketball early in the week on Monday. And then they followed up that afternoon by doing a just basically a banter slash favorite throwback jerseys, what if players, just basic NBA talk, as well as shoes and stuff like that. And so y'all go give them a follow. I think their Twitter handle we'll mention in our description on this page. I also want to take this time and thank our listeners, man. We have seen our numbers grow over the past couple of weeks, and I just want to take this time and just say thank y'all for listening, man. We really appreciate y'all. And so just thanks for taking time out of your day to listen to the two guys just talk about some dynasty football. So also we want to take time as well to tell you to follow us over on Facebook, Legacy of Legends, the Dynasty Podcast, and over on Twitter at LOL Dynasty Pod. You can follow my individual Twitter at AfroDynamics116, as well as Stevens at sdeaton24. Steven, I always turn this over to you, man. Give the listeners some final fantasy advice and we'll wrap this thing up.
Man, yeah. I just think my advice this week, man, is just enjoy your time off this holiday season. Enjoy some time with your family. It's going to be really nice to be able to just sit back, football or not, you know, and just enjoy your family and the holidays here. I know it's been nice being off this past week, like I've been able to enjoy some time with my family. And then we got Christmas coming up just in a couple of days here. Tomorrow's Christmas Eve. We got football games, and then you got football games again on Sunday. So, man, just enjoy this time off. Good luck in the semifinals this week. And I hope everyone has a very Merry Christmas.
Absolutely, man. Merry Christmas to you guys. Enjoy the weekend. Man, hope that you guys celebrate with your family and stuff. Don't take it for granted. Just enjoy the time, make some memories together, and y'all have a good one. See y'all.